Lord. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idly in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever's right.' So they went. When they went out again about noon, and about he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, and he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one's hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Then when the first came, they thought they would receive more, because each of them also received the daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' And he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because ungenerous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last.'" This morning's Bible readings are filled with angry and grumpy people. Jonah is angry because God doesn't bomb into the ground his hated enemy. And the hard workers in Jesus' parable grumble because they work 12 hours during the day in the hot sun. They aren't paid a day more than people hired at the very last moment in the afternoon. Jonah in the story at the beginning, he stows away in a boat because he wants to get as far away from this gracious God as he can and as far away from the nasty Ninevites. Jonah knows that God will call for the Ninevites through him to repent, and he knows that God will forgive them, and he doesn't want that. Those rotten people. In the gospel, the hard workers are livid. In Jonah, he is livid too. And Jonah and the workers, you know, the workers, you can see, they would go to the owner's home afterwards, and they would start this protest, and they'd have these big placards say, "Equal pay for equal work." What is it about Jesus, whenever he starts talking about the kingdom of God, it's hard. The workers are angry. Jonah's angry. The workers are grumbling. How are you feeling? Jesus tells this revealing parable, and it does exactly what it's supposed to do. It shocks us. It gets under our skin. It shows us that God's ways are not our ways. It reveals something utterly shocking about the agenda of God's shalom. And the parable also reveals something about us, about human beings, about how we act and react. Truth be told, we human beings have trouble with God's mercy. Those of us who have been parents, or maybe you've observed kids, or maybe you were a kid yourself, who has to teach a little kid to say, "It's not fair"? And it seems that we never stop saying that. It's just not fair. Jonah was so mad because God was going to forgive these Ninevites, and they were not the chosen people. He was. And they were Jonah's enemies, for God's sake. And Jonah hoped, even at the last minute, he'd get up there and he'd be able to watch that city, and God would just rain down thunder and fires from heaven. And God changes God's mind about punishing them. No wonder Jonah gets grumpy and he mopes under the leaves of that vine. And when the vine dies, he wants to die too. It's not fair, God. I knew you'd do that. You're too gracious. You're too generous. You're slow to anger and abounding in love, you know? Who can abide? Who can live with a God like that? We human beings want God to be radically generous when we're the ones in need. When we need that mercy and that forgiveness, we want God to forgive us then. But when it's applied to others, and if you have a brother or sister, you know, it's not fair. He or she gets to do that. I was struck in these texts by the questions at the end of, now I'm talking about Matthew's parable, Jesus' parable. At the end, the landowner represents God, and he says to the workers, you know, just take what you're going to be given, and I choose to give to whom I want, you know, and the last will be first, and the first will be last. He says all that. And he asks them this question, aren't I allowed to do what I want with that which belongs to me? Good question. Or are you envious because I'm generous? Are you envious of my generosity? Good questions. Can you live with my generosity or not? Our problem, according to Matthew, isn't simply with our neighbors that we don't get along with or even our enemies, but we have a real problem with God. Because God is so generous. God is so generous. You know, God is indiscriminately good. Who voted God in? I didn't vote for God. Who put God in charge? Just look what God came to do in Christ Jesus. The one who came forgiving sins with no strings attached. The one who just fed the hungry and didn't even have them wash up for dinner, which they're supposed to do if they didn't observe the religious law. He was the one that healed the sick on the Sabbath, breaking the rules again, Jesus. He lifted up the lowly and empowered the powerless. And this Jesus was given the death sentence because we couldn't stand it. Truth is, our problem is with God's justice, God's righteousness, God's mercy and love. Because God is ultimately merciful. God doesn't play by our rules or keep score neatly the way we do. God favors the poor. God has compassion on those society and says we shouldn't waste our time on people like that. Week in and week out, we're given the opportunity to hear about this upside-down vision of the world that God has for us. We come to a place where all people are welcome. Because whoever we are and wherever we are on our journey of life, you are welcome here. There's a place here where you'll meet Jesus. Can we live with that? Can we live with it? It's hard, isn't it? Last week, Pastor Carla preached on another parable of Jesus, some very hard words about forgiving and how we're to forgive one another over and over again. And the bottom line for that parable is we forgive because God has first forgiven us and done it again and again. God can't help God's self. God forgives and forgets. I rarely come up with anything unique, but I usually just steal stuff from other people and put in the sermons. I don't really, but I once came up with this little thing. I said that God has given us the gift of brothers and sisters to remind us of stuff that God has already forgotten about. Think about that. Your brother or sister reminds you about something that happened in the past? Well, God doesn't remember. God forgets that stuff and does not hold that over us anymore. That's what God is like. And that's crazy because you and I are conditioned. We're conditioned. We're told who the good people are and the bad people are, and the good people always are. Have you noticed that, us? Think about it. We're conditioned to hate our enemies. We're not born hating our enemies. Like Jonah, we're taught to hate our enemies. Maybe some of you have turned on KPBS this last week and the week before. Ken Burns has done it again. Amazing documentary on the war in Vietnam. This excellent series, highly recommended, is an in-depth look at this complicated, painful time of history. One of the striking things that Burns does in the series is he shares interviews of American veterans who tell their own stories. And he also has interviews with North Vietnamese veterans who tell their stories too. These guys were basically teenagers at the time they were sent to Vietnam. One North Vietnamese vet recounts watching from a distance as he was hiding in the jungle, watching for the ways that the American GIs were treating the dead, retrieving the body of their comrades, and then caring for their wounded. And he said, North Vietnamese man, he said, at that moment, I was 17 years old, at that moment I realized, when I saw them, I realized they were just like Vietnamese people. They had human emotions. They took care of one another. They loved one another. I saw these young guys were like me. Not as an inhuman beast that I was taught they were. And there are interviews with American GIs who tell similar stories. God offers all of us the chance to see others the way that God sees us. As children of God. All of us are God's children. We're invited to see through new eyes. To look at the world. Our eyes can be used for good or for bad. But as we look at the vision that God has for us, we can look into the very eyes of God. As we look at Jesus, and as we look at Jesus and what Jesus was about, we're looking into the heart of God. This one who is completely generous and has only mercy for us, sheer generosity. And according to the parable, we don't like what we see. Because in the end, pure generosity, you can't explain it. It's uncomfortable for no reason at all. We want to do something and earn it. And we can't get our heads wrapped around it that God is just this way. We don't get it. I remember hearing of a person who paid it forward for customers in a line. And, you know, you hear about these stories every once in a while. This one was memorable because when he got to the cashier that morning, he gave the cashier $1,000. And he said, pay for everybody behind me until the $1,000 runs out. And you can imagine the generosity of that person bought a lot of hamburgers. You know? It did. And later on, when someone asked him why he had done that, why he was so generous, why did you do that? The guy said, well, it's a Monday. And Mondays are hard for some people. Generosity doesn't always make sense. But it was his to give, his to share, and he wanted to do what he wanted with that money of his. He wanted to be generous, whether people understood it or not. That wasn't important. He chose to be generous, didn't he? And that's what God did with the people of Nineveh. God decided to be generous simply because God wanted to. And the landowner, the same way with all the workers in the vineyard, only because he could and it belonged to him. And here's the rub of today's stories. Generosity isn't something to be understood. We keep on trying to do an exchange as human beings. We keep track of stuff and we think we have to do something to earn. And we get uncomfortable when somebody just gives us something and we don't feel like we deserve it. Generosity is hard to receive sometimes. But that's the only way that generosity is generosity. If you can't measure it, if you can't explain it, that's the point. God is about grace. Grace, by definition, can't be measured. God is generous. Show him in the parable, because God wants to be. And you and I will never be as generous as God. We'll never outgive God. But the good news is we don't have to be. We're just called to do the best we can. And from time to time, to live into that generosity of God, because it feels right to do it, and it's healthy. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, you and I can. live generous lives. And we can reach out to our neighbors in need. And we can see others the way that God sees us. Can we live with that? Live with the fact that none of us is going to do this thing perfectly, but live with the fact that all of us are beggars when it comes to God's grace. Can you live with the mercy of God? What's going to save us finally from ourselves when we find ourselves as grumpy as Jonah? Because God is too gracious, scandalous. Well, my friends, the only thing that's going to save us is if we look and turn in a new direction with our eyes and we look at the cross. Because at the cross, we see there the craziness of this generous God. Look at the cross. Who can envy that kind of love, but who can live without it? Turn to the cross and see the price that was paid for the crazy generosity of God. The cross is where God unilaterally disarmed. The cross where God meets hate with love and doesn't stop loving, because God loves us to death, and that's crazy generosity. God doesn't keep record of wrongs. No, God just keeps us. God keeps you and me in the palms of God's hands, because you are a precious child of God. And that's good news. We have hope. And there's work to be done in God's kingdom through the ministry of our congregation. We can now joyfully share with our neighbors, and we can give our bread, share it with the hungry, or share our time, or share our talent with others. We can be as generous as we can be, and that's not all bad, and sometimes it can even be fun. So what will we do now? That's finally the question at the end of both of those stories. The question left with Jonah was, okay, Jonah, knowing all this, what are you going to do now? Are you going to continue to mope, or are you going to get up and live? And it's the question for the vineyard workers too. What are you going to do now? Knowing this about the grace and mercy of God, will you do it? What will you do? Will you rejoice and be glad because God's agenda of shalom is your agenda too? Will you let go and live into the mercies of this great and glorious God? How blessed we are to be here this morning. Not because we must, but because God is singing a love song to us. Are you falling for that love song? Are you falling in love with this gracious God? Well, come and get it, my children. Come and to this meal. It's free. The bits of bread and the fruit of the vine, it's given and it's shed for you. The music of God's love song changes our hearts so that we can't keep from singing. Knowing about the grace and mercy of God, this craziness of God, what will you do?